fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. Continue to celebrate this Easter season, proclaiming Jesus Christ is risen. And hopefully through the programs and looking at the unfolding of the preaching of the gospel that's happening each day, the church gives us these readings from Acts. We see the unfolding of church, and in this unfolding, it's not just particular historical encounters that are helpful to know, but friends, we're seeing Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, building his church and unfolding what are the fundamental and what are the fundamental elements upon which the church is built, and how is the church built? How are people brought to Christ, and how does the Lord want to work with his church to bring about conversion and the salvation of sinners? That's what we're seeing here. And so it begins with the apostles on Pentecost, as we began on Monday. The reading that the church gave us, that first reading at Mass, was Peter coming forth on the day of Pentecost. So we see that the church begins with a profound, life-transforming, life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit. And Peter makes it clear that what they were experiencing when they were speaking in tongues, there was clear grace and power at work in them, and that, as Pope John Paul II said, the Spirit stirred the deepest energies of the apostles and thrust them into the marketplace to go out into the public. And so Christianity is about repentance and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit and living a new life in the Holy Spirit. And now walking in the Spirit, as St. Paul would say. And so the apostles literally are compelled by the movement of the Holy Spirit. One of the things, again, Pope John Paul II used to say is that the Holy Spirit not only gives us light and new power, but it's power to create movement, to move us from point A to point B, and to move us out to proclaim the gospel. Because God has decided, St. Paul will tell us later, that through the foolishness of what we preach to bring salvation to the world, through the forgiveness of sins. Faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. The church is empowered to move out, to be, it's a movement across history that's part of the church's nature, to keep extending throughout the globe, throughout history, and being the conduit through which the good news of Jesus Christ is brought to every tribe and nation, every people and language. That's the nature of the church, and it began there with the explosion on the day of Pentecost. And then under the anointing of the Spirit, Peter stands up and he proclaims, he interprets why this is happening. And it's meaning. What's the meaning of what's happening to the apostles? They're speaking and people of many different languages are hearing them and understanding them in their own language. Clearly, there's a miracle here. I mean, there's a lot to the story. You know, it's really goes back to the Tower of Babel when man tries to build his own tower up to heaven and things are scrambled and people can't understand each other. Now we see the opposite happening as the King Jesus Christ takes his throne at the right hand of the Father. He's enthroned now. The kingdom has been established. The king has planted his flag with the cross in the earth. He's triumphed over sin and death. He's triumphed over the world of flesh and the devil. And the kingdom has begun. And the kingdom has begun because Jesus Christ, the great victor, the conqueror, is now at the right hand of the Father, and literally the kingdom now, its reign, its rule that the Father has destined for the Son, it's begun. And through his rule, the human race has a means now of salvation, of participating in his kingdom. And that means not just sharing some of his philosophy, it means dying with Jesus in baptism. It means literally saying yes to Jesus' diagnosis about our condition, and we give over, we surrender this desire and sort of domination in our own mind and heart that we're going to determine for ourselves what is true, what is good. I'm going to define for myself the meaning of my life. And if there's salvation, I'm going to save myself. It's a constant energy, friends, that's in the world. It's like the Tower of Babel. It's present today. It's the same utopian drive that says we will save ourselves apart from reference to God and God's commandments. Jesus came as the light of the world and said, friends, that is darkness. That's a lie. That's slaves relying on themselves and their own darkened mind. And what you will do is you will build with futility. It will end in destruction. You cannot do it because there's only two ways. All the way back to Deuteronomy, God said, I set before you life and death. I set before you blessing and a curse. There's not five ways or 10 ways. There's two ways. God said, choose life. Jesus comes as the Messiah and says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm the way, the truth toward life. I reveal to you the true path. I am the path. Come with me. So here's what the apostles are stepping out to proclaim under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the way to life. They've been sent by the King who's come to save souls. They now are his ambassadors. They're sent into the world to seek and save the lost. That's what the church is. And we don't do it by our own clever ideas. We don't do it by our own power, by money. What did we learn this week? Peter said, look, the crippled man at the Gate Beautiful, he was waiting for Peter to give him money. And Peter said, friend, I don't have silver or gold. I have nothing to give you, material, but I will give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Peter knew that Jesus, the Messiah at the right hand of the Father, had deposited his spirit within them and that they were called to obey the movement and grace and power of the Holy Spirit at work within them. Friends, that's Christianity. Christianity, the root comes from christened, right? Or chrism, of oil, of Christianity, of anointing, of the Spirit. We're the anointed ones. Anointed because I'm so special? No. Like Peter said, this man was raised because Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Now, he has your attention, friends, right? Yes. So Peter says, repent. Why? Because Jesus said, repent. Peter said, turn again. Because Jesus said, turn back to God. Peter's simply echoing the teaching of Jesus and then bearing witness to what he has seen and heard, and he's doing it faithfully. And on that day of Pentecost, the church was birthed by the Spirit, and then Peter, under the anointing of the Spirit, said, friends, this is what's happening. We are in now the last hour of human history. This is the time. What you're witnessing is the promise. The Holy Spirit is now being poured out. Heaven is pouring out life, eternal life, into human hearts, on human flesh, all across the world. And this anointing, which at one time was for the prophets and for kings and for special people, this anointing of being set apart by God for God, to belong to God, this anointing is meant to really land, if I can use that term, if it can enter every single human heart. And the mission of the church in this urgent time, which extends to this moment in history, friends, the church is alive with passion to bring it to others. So many of us don't see ourselves that way, being caught up in this current of grace. Look at the things we are passionate about. And many things we're passionate about, it's okay to be passionate about. You know, like we're really passionate about our work and our career and the businesses we build, or passionate about, you know, the vacation home we're building or the vacation we're taking. Whatever it is, it's really good to be passionate about those things. But unfortunately, for many of us, those passions consume us to such a level we don't have passion for the mission Christ has called us to. And to put those two things together that seem to be in competition, but they don't need to be, we sort of settle with the idea that we're supposed to be passionate about our work and our vocation, and the extent of our mission is simply to do this right. That is to be good citizens, to be kind to people, to speak the truth, to be honest in our work and our doings. And that's true. That is a part of the witness, and it is important. But most of the baptized live with no sense of being personally called and anointed by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, and given the anointing of the Spirit. Friends, to be given the Spirit means you've been given power. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive in you. And every single one of us has spiritual gifts given to us directly by Christ, just like the apostles did. Our gifts may not be exactly like Paul's. Not all of us are apostles, not all of us are prophets, not all of us are teachers. There's administrators, there's evangelists, there's healers, there's prophets, there's all kinds of people. gifts of hospitality. But people all like St. Peter, who ought to be able to say, what I have, I give you. Peter knew what he had. Do you know what you have? Really? Have you fanned into flame the gift of the Spirit, the fire of the Spirit that's been given to you at your baptism and confirmation? Do you have any idea the gifts you have? And are you exercising those gifts? Do you know that you're a sent one, that you're commissioned by God? All of us are called in a general way to the apostolate of the laity. We're all called to be an extension, a current of grace in God's kingdom. And friends, believe it or not, as a disciple, that ought to be the most important thing, that of the things you're passionate about in life. You're acutely aware of your relationship with Jesus and the gift he's given to you and the power he's given to you to make you not only a son and a brother or sister, but to be an ambassador, a representative of him in the earth. The establishment and the extension of the kingdom, friends, is the most important thing on the mind of God. There's a lot of important things that we're supposed to put our hands to in this world. To care for the sick, to help the poor, to take responsibility for our families in the right kind of way, to care for our environment, to seek peace, to try to bring peace where we can. There's a lot of things that matter in this world that we're supposed to have our hand to. But even those things, as good as they are, friends, they're passing. They're going to pass away. What will never pass away are eternal souls, are human beings, men and women, the image of God. And what the Father, our Creator, and the Son, through whom all things were made, what they're passionate about, and what's number one priority for them, is not just that we fulfill these other tasks, which are good and we're meant to fulfill. But what's number one in their heart is to seek and save the lost. That's the heart of a disciple. There are too many people who've entered the waters of baptism who never think about that. It's not even on their radar. Not only do they not have any idea who they are, what they've been baptized into, and the grace and the power and the anointing they're meant to live in, and the specific commission Christ has given them. I mean, the recent popes have told us this over and over and over again. But it's a little bit like water off a duck's back. People just don't hear it. We've got other priorities. We have other passions. We have idols. We have things we'd rather be preoccupied by. And this journey to follow Jesus, this dying to self, saying no to all those other drives and saying yes to him and taking on his priorities and values, that's a different ballgame. That looks too scary to us. Or it looks like it's going to take away the fun that we want to have in life. Plus, people might not like us, which we're beginning to see now, and it'll unfold in this next week. I'll talk about the next phase for the apostles is not only doing the works of Jesus and proclaiming the message, but it's receiving just what Jesus said they were going to receive, which is the opposition and the hatred of some in this world. Friends, it's so important in this season of Easter. Remember who you are and what Christ has done to make you who you are. Receive it and live in it. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.